So, hey guys, we're back and we have Sam Dolan back on the phone. And Sam Dolan is one of the executive producers of Into the Wild Frontier, INSP's hit series about frontiersmen. We've had some amazing discussions. We've had Lucien Maxwell. We've talked about, who else have we talked about? Gosh darn it, my mind just
went. Jim Beckworth.
Jim Beckworth.
Baker, yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about a lot of them, and today is a huge one because today we're talking about John Coffey Hayes, a Texas legend, and he's also was a Texas Ranger. But we're gonna talk about him because he doesn't really fit into the mountain man as much as he's a frontiersman. And Sam's gonna talk about why INSP chose this one and why this guy, this man, John Coffey Hayes, eventually became known as Jack Hayes. Like, why he is so big and why so many people love him. Of course, I want to thank INSP at INSP.com. Be sure to go to the website, and on the upper right-hand corner is a little search, and you can put your zip code in, and it'll bring up all the places that you can watch INSP, and you're going to want to find Into the Wild Frontier. You're going to want to watch the complete series all the way from first season all the way to where we are today. There is so much there for you, and Sam's been a part of it, and we've been talking about some amazing men who have made Into the Wild Frontier what it is today. It's just an awesome show. I've talked to you about wearing headphones. Please, when you're watching, you know, sometimes if you want a greater sound, wear your headphones when listening to it, because you can hear the water in the background and you can hear the tools and you can hear the clinking of the horse. Like, their sound guy, I don't know the sound team, whoever that is, but, oh my God, they did a phenomenal job. But great, great content. Even if you want to see other stuff at INSP, like terrific shows like Gunsmoke and Wagon Train, there is just so much to see and do, including the hit show going on right now, Elkhorn, about a young Teddy Roosevelt. You're going to want to watch that one. It's got my friend Travis Lee Eller in that one. We've got a podcast about Travis Lee Eller. But today we're talking to Sam Dolan and Into the Wild Frontier about John Coffey Hayes. So welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. Why is this one so huge compared to the other ones? Because John, when you bring up John Coffey Hayes, people are like, oh my God, I can't wait for this one. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for it. What makes this one so different than all the others?
Well, this episode on John Coffey Hayes is admittedly a bit of an outlier compared to a lot of the other episodes that we do in the series. Historically, this series has been very much about frontiersmen and very often mountain men who are explorers or surveyors or trappers or hunters. And very often on the Great Plains or in Rocky Mountains or the Pacific Northwest. And up to now, the series hasn't really focused on this whole other frontier experience that was going on at very much the same time. And that, of course, is the frontier of Texas, where during the 1820s and 1830s, you have people who are moving to Texas. They are settling there. Initially, many of them become citizens of the Republic of Mexico, but they move to Texas. Texas, of course, fights a war of independence. Texas gains its independence. It becomes its own republic for about 9 years. Texas is, well, its own country, and it needs essentially a frontier force to protect the frontier, and that it takes sort of several forms, really, but the longest lasting, the most famous, of course, are the Texas Rangers. And John Coffey Hayes, he was a young man from Tennessee. He moved to Texas in 1836, which is a pivotal year in the history of Texas. I mean, this is days after the Alamo. This is in the run-up to General Houston's victory over Santa Anna's army. And he's in the right place at the right time. And he goes to Texas to seek his own fortune, much like our mountain men characters in the other episodes go out to the far west. But Jack Hayes winds up in Texas, and he becomes a Texas Ranger, and not just any Texas Ranger, but arguably or undoubtedly the most legendary Texas Ranger of his era.
Because there are a lot of legendary Texas Rangers, and you've written several books about the Lion Riders, sure. and they're great books. Go out and find those on Amazon. To make sure you, if you want to know more about Sam, go to Sam Dolan, D-O-L-A-N. Look him up on Amazon. He's got some books there for sale about the Lion Riders and Hell Paso. One of my favorites is Hell Paso, about the story about El Paso, Texas. And we also have a mutual friend that was he's an inspiration and really helped Sam in his writing style, which is John Bosnecker and his book about Frank Hamer. It just seems like anything involving Texas Rangers, just people just like, boom, they go crazy because they can't get enough of Texas Rangers.
Well, the Rangers have a long history in Texas. They are, to Texans, very important figures and often written about. And then in sort of a bigger picture way, they are icons of the American frontier experience. And when we think of Texas Rangers, we often think of Rangers like Frank Hamer, who was a Texas Ranger mostly in the early 20th century. John, of course, wrote a fantastic book about right. him. Hamer's best known, obviously, for having tracked down and killed Bonnie and Clyde in 1934. Right. We think of guys like Lone Wolf Gonzalez, Major John B. Jones in the Frontier Battalion in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s. Many, many legendary Texas Rangers. And that is a sort of a legacy, or their lineage begins sort of well before that, during the days of the Republic. And this is at a time where the Rangers were, well, they were more of a frontier military force in many ways. These were frontiersmen that had come from all parts. They had gone to Texas. They were hunters. Some were trappers. Some had maybe veterans of the War of 1812 or other battles in North America. And they maybe had fought in Texas's War of Independence. And so these were the men who were called upon to serve as Rangers. And Hayes was one of them. And he was a very young fellow. He was small in stature, but in the sort of history of Texas, he casts a very long shadow. And he moved up the ranks very quickly. You know, the Rangers then, as now, have a structure, especially at the time, it was almost like a military structure. You enlisted in the Rangers, you were a private. You might become a sergeant later on if you showed some sort of leadership capacity. Well, Hayes he went from private to sergeant to captain of a company of Rangers in relatively short order, and fought in several very pivotal battles, especially battles that pitted the Rangers against the Comanche.
So let me ask you then, from a production-wise, your group is for the most part telling a story in all the other seasons about the relationships between the indigenous people and the mountain men and building relationships and learning their languages and sometimes making mistakes and other times succeeding and learning from them. How was, and I could be wrong, you know me, I ask questions on the fly. How was the production of this one? Was it completely different than the production of all the others?
In many respects, it was a continuation of the same production, involving a lot of the same elements, and a lot of the same knowledge on behalf of our department heads, our production designer, Jerry Hornbaker, our wardrobe costume designer, Kevin Hirschberger, armorer, Mark Brown, and others that were involved in the show. So a lot of knowledge sort of carries over. A lot of these same people are very knowledgeable about Texas and this whole era of the 1830s and 40s. And so from that standpoint, it was a sort of a natural transition, really, or a continuation of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It's a different environment in many ways. It's a different sort of conflict. And we needed to showcase, obviously, the Comanche as well as the Rangers. And we have, Comanche voice in the show, an interviewee, a retired a senior NCO who's a Vietnam veteran who was one of our contributors. And, you know, the Comanche were an absolutely amazing people, and are a very amazing people. They had a sort of a dominance in many respects of the Southern Plains. An area that we would sort of roughly think of as being parts of modern day Kansas, Oklahoma, all the way down through the heart of Texas and into northern Mexico, that was the homeland of the Comanche. And these were excellent horsemen, very tenacious warriors and hunters. And they became the indigenous force that the rangers so often had conflict with. And so the Comanches are a very important part of the story of Texas, and especially the story of the Texas Rangers. The Rangers, they had a conflict with the Mexican government, which did not, during this period, completely recognize the legitimacy of the Texas Republic, and then also the Kiowa and other groups. But the Comanche were the sort of primary principal adversary of the Rangers. And a lot of the Rangers had a lot of respect in the long run for the Comanche, because they were, very proud and skilled warriors defending their homeland.
Well, if you're wondering who we're talking to, of course, again, multiple times, I love talking to him on the phone. I can't wait to get out. I texted him the other day and I'm like, hey, you ready to do more? And he's like, yes. Like, it's fantastic. And we're talking to Sam Dolan. And Sam is one of the executive producers of Into the Wild Frontier. And today we're talking about the story about John Coffey Hayes, a Texas legend. If you want more information, go to insp.com. I know I say it all the time about heroes live here. They really do. Your heroes in American history, Western history, and TV shows are heroes that we grew up with in television. They're all on INSP. So that's why their catchphrase is heroes live here, because they really do. They live there on the INSP network. In previous interviews and podcasts, we spoke about challenges, production challenges, and in one of the episodes, your team had to build a fort. Were there any production challenges in this story because it's so grand?
Yes, I mean, there were a couple of significant challenges. One of them was sort of a material challenge. John Coffey Hayes, or Jack Hayes, as he's well known, he's also very closely connected to the story of the Colt Revolver, which is obviously very important in the history of the West, and specifically the early Colt Patterson. So this wasn't a six-shooter. This was a more delicate five-shot revolver that Colt was producing in the mid-late 1830s and into the very early 1840s. And really, Colt was not having a very successful run on these revolvers. And yet they found a home in Texas during this period. And Hayes and his men carried, Colt Patterson revolvers. That's a very important story as far as the development of frontier weaponry and really American weaponry. But to really answer your question, one of the biggest challenges of this particular episode was our recreation of the Battle of Walker's Creek, which was a very pivotal battle in the story of Jack Hayes and in the story of the Texas Rangers. And it took several days to film. There was a lot of horse activity, a lot of combat, a lot of shooting, saddle falls. It was a very action-heavy episode. So we didn't really have any forts to build this time around, or too many rivers to ford, but certainly it was in a lot of hot summer days of shooting, a very intense battle sequence.
So then let me ask you about that, because we've talked about authenticity in other interviews, and that, the one thing that people look for is the authenticity in weapons of that period. And you had mentioned that your team reached out to private collectors and people that had them, and they would loan them, and sometimes you might have to fabricate them or whatever. The authenticity, how hard is that? How hard is that to get a battle scene down to where you stand back and you watch it in a post-production, or you're standing back looking at the end at the dailies and you're like, man, you guys, we nailed it, or we got to go back and do it again.
Well, fortunately, we didn't have to go back and do it again. But, you know, looking for some of the props that were actually pretty particular for this episode, the Colt Pattersons especially, you know, you're not going to use original Colt Pattersons for a show like this. They're extraordinarily rare and very, well, they're very valuable. So there were reproductions of Colt Pattersons that were done for quite a long time, but not in really in recent years, as I understand it. So, you know, our production designer, various prop sources, our armorer, a lot of us were looking for Colt Patterson reproduction Colt Pattersons to use for the show as an effort to actually locate the sort of, you know, muzzle loading reproduction, you know, Colt Pattersons. So that's one aspect of it. To really get to the heart of your question, however, the battle sequence itself was very involved. And there's a lot of factors, both logistical, you're looking at your location. We went over our locations in a lot of detail, because essentially what we are staging is a large-scale cavalry battle. The Battle of Walker's Creek in 1844 was a pivotal battle between the Texas Rangers and a rather large force of mounted Comanche and Kiowa warriors. And so that is a big fight to try to take on. And it's a big horse-related fight. So you have to think of a lot of safety involving the animals, the actors. Of course, you have a lot of hot weather, so there's concerns regarding that. You're looking over the ground for cactus thorns and gopher holes and all manner of things that could really become factors in doing this. You're basically planning a battle. And so you're going over your battleground ahead of time in this case. And it takes a certain amount of time to do that. So we, you know, you shoot something like that in stages, the two forces in their advance to the battle, the opening of the battle, the initial charge on horseback by the Rangers, firing weapons, both from the back of horses as well as on the ground. Of course, our indigenous performers who are, have got a lot of work to do here. They're mounted, many of them bareback, with lances and guns and other weapons in their hands. So there is there's a lot going on when you're doing this sort of thing. We have a very good team, a very good crew. I think combined with the cast, who are very motivated, everybody sort of understood what was what we needed to accomplish and the objective, and we all got through it. And it was a testament to really a great team.
So then the series is coming up. Were they able to pack it all into one episode, or was the story so, because I really don't know. Are they going to end up doing two?
Well, in this particular case, we shot one episode on Hayes, and we kind of cover his sort of arrival or entry to Texas, and then it culminates with the Battle at Walker's Creek. Hayes, however, had an epic life. As a result of the Battle of Walker's Creek, he sort of really established himself as sort of a living legend in Texas. Well, this is sort of an interesting time frame. That battle happens in 1844. Texas is admitted to the Union as a state the following year in 1845. And that means that the war with Mexico, between the United States and Mexico, is right around the corner. And so Hayes would fight in the war with Mexico under General Zachary Taylor and later General Winfield Scott. So he had quite a career as a soldier in many respects. And then, right after the Mexican War with the California Gold Rush, he went to San Francisco. And he became sheriff in San Francisco. He was one of the founding pioneers of Oakland, California. He had quite a life, Jack Hayes. So this is really only one sort of chapter of it, really.
I love that. Of course, we're talking to Sam Dolan and the new series, actually not new series, but the ongoing series Into the Wild. This is a new episode called about John Coffey Hayes, a Texas legend. Now he's known, he's actually John Coffey Hayes, but many people know him as Jack Hayes, Texas Ranger. If you want more information, go to insp.com. Again, I always tell everybody in that upper right-hand corner is a little search. Put in your area code, or not area code, but your zip code, and it'll tell you all the places to watch Into the Wild Frontier. I watch it on Roku, and I watch it on my phone, and I listen to it on my headset, and it is fantastic. Really, it's an awesome series, Into the Wild Frontier. You're going to absolutely love it. Is there a takeaway? You kind of spoke away about John and his former, not a former life, but as he continued on with the founding of Oakland. Is there a takeaway on this one, like, about him, like?
Well, when you're trying to do it, when you're producing a series like this, you want to highlight characters that have sort of a legacy like that. Hayes is one of those frontier figures who leaves the old frontier, you know, rural Tennessee at a certain point in time. He goes to Texas when that is the emerging frontier in the 1830s. And then, basically a decade later, on to California. And he's part of that migration west. He's another one of these figures like Jim Beckwith or Jim Bridger or many of these others who are really, you know, their stories are very integral, you know, to the history of the frontier. They're really tied to that overall story. So he's another one of those characters that sort of has a through line through the American West and the American frontier, from the Old South to, you know, the Pacific Coast. And, of course, Hayes is a legendary figure in the Texas Rangers. A lot of Ranger captains sort of emulate him in later years. He sort of establishes for the Texas Rangers kind of a tradition. He's not the first captain of the Texas Rangers, but he's one of the first real legendary ones. And other captains that you can think of, I'll include Frank Hamer in a much later sort of era, they all sort of follow in the footsteps of Jack Hayes. So he's a very important character in the history of Texas, the history of the Texas Rangers, the Colt Revolver, of course, and in the history of the American West.
I love it. Well, go find it, everybody. It's coming up. Into the Wild Frontier, John Coffee Hayes, a Texas legend. Of course, you can find my podcast everywhere. I can't thank everybody enough. Following group on Spotify is almost up to 500. So the U500 that are following, thank you so much. Of course, you can find me on iHeartRadio and iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and Podbean. And I just posted, I'm trying to start posting some of it on YouTube. So if you've got some folks that love listening to podcasts on YouTube, you can do that by going to Cochise County _travels. And you'll find some podcasts there. I just loaded up an interview with Sam and I, and it's there to listen to right now. Of course, I want to thank INSP at insp.com. Heroes live here. And I want to thank Sam. He's just a terrific guy. He keeps saying yes, that he'll sit down with me for 20 minutes and tell these stories and talk about how they're made and share the history. But please, to reciprocate back to Sam, go on Amazon and go find his books. Sam Dolan, he's a terrific author. El Paso, the story about El Paso, Texas, and of course the Line Riders. He's got another book out there. I can't remember what that other book is. And then he's working on one. But the entire book library is on Amazon, and you're going to want to get them and read them. You'll love them just as much as I do. Of course, I want to again thank all of you. I want to keep have you listening. We're going to have some more coming up. How many more do we have?
Well, this episode on Jack Hayes airs this Sunday on April 28th right. On INSP. And then we'll have one more new episode in this season, and that's the following Sunday. And that's on John Mulla, who's a very important figure in a whole other corner of the American West, Pacific Northwest.
I can't wait. Can't wait to talk to you about that one. Okay, everybody, I appreciate you so much. Again, I just am blown away that you all keep listening. There's 104 podcasts up to now, and I think this is the 105th. So go back into the archives, because there is a lot of history from Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and Frank Hamer and the Mormons in Utah and Buffalo Bill. There is and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and oh my gosh, there's so much there. So go back in those archives and listen to them. They're all free on iTunes and Spotify, and enjoy. As always, safe travels, and we'll see you soon.